this is, the Gemara says, and the Mamor passes like this, that the only way to eat a bird is if we have Masorah about that bird. The tradition that this was, that a bird is a kosher bird, not one of these 24 non-kosher birds. The Mishnah says in Chulin that, yeah.
What is the status on turkey?
I'll get to it just, but last Thanksgiving, I presume you ate turkey, right? Well, you have a pretty good idea what the status is. Most people eat it, but not anybody. I'll talk about turkey in a second. Actually, we have in the source book, you'll see there's an article, I think, by Baptist and Augustus specifically about turkey, but I'll touch on it. But I want to just get the, what I want to think about is the conceptual background about birds with Masorahs. So, the Mishnah tells us in Chulin that there are certain identifying features. They're not really coeval. They're not determinant of what is a kosher bird. But there's certain things that we know that, first of all, non-kosher birds are all dores. And there's different opinions what dores means. Either means they're predatory birds. Rashi says that when they eat, some birds, they pick up with their claws the food as they eat it. Another pshat Rashi is that it holds it down with a claw as it eats. There are different pshat that what dores means, and there are certain simon that we know about non-kosher birds that I mentioned in the Mishnah, that non-kosher birds a kosher bird, if it has its kukubin, the gizzard is nikla, can be easily peeled without a knife, or it has a crop, which is like a little pouch that the bird has attached to the esophagus. If it has etzba yaseira, an extra toe, and also that when the lesson in the Mishnah that when it perches on a string, that it doesn't split its two and two, its toes. These are indicators of a kosher bird. But the halacha is that these are kind of, even though these are of course indicative of what's a kosher bird, but we nonetheless rely, the Mamor says, only on the Masorah. Now that's the halacha as relates to birds. What about as relates to animals? So, the Shach says in Siman Peh Bay, Sif Aleph, the very first Shach, has a phrase that's somewhat enigmatic, and he says, "Ufish ein lano akta el mashi kibalu min Masorahs." In other words, just like by oath, if we only eat things that we have a Masorah on, that we have a tradition about, so also by what? Now, what is the Shach referring to? So, the Chochmas Adam interprets the Shach to mean that just like birds, we only eat if we have a tradition, animals also, we only eat if we have a tradition about this species or this kind of animal that is a kosher animal. And even though we know that it has split hooves and it chews its cud, nonetheless, we will only eat it with the souls. That's the way the Chochmas Adam interpreted this shot. And the Chazon Ish, in his Tshuvos and his letters, said that Paskin liked this Chochmas Adam. We have to remember that Chochmas Adam, Chai Adam, lived in Vilna, and the Chazon Ish was also, spent before he came on Aliyah to Israel, was living in Vilna. So it's not surprising that the words of the Chochmas Adam would be especially important there, because it's also the Chochmas Adam, by Adam, like it's significant in its own life. However, the Prima Godin interprets the Shach differently, and the Prima Godin says that that's not what the Shach means. The Shach meant to say that in order to distinguish between a chaya and a behemoth, for that we need a masorah, which means to say this: the animals have fallen into two categories. They're either called a behemoth or a chaya. Both of them are kosher, and both have the simonim, mainly that they have split votes and chew their cud. But how do we know what we classify as a chaya and what we classify as a behemah? What's the difference whether something is a chaya or you call it a behemah? They're both kosher. The difference is, first of all, there are several differences. One difference is that a chaya, the chaylev of a chaya, the forbidden fats in an animal, the chaylev of a chaya is mutter, and the chaylev of behemah is osur. Not only is osur, it's nisikos. So if we classify something as a chaya, well then the chaylev, the so the chaylev will be mutter the chaya. So it's extremely important to know whether something is a chaya behemah. Also, a chaya, as a chef, a chaya, as opposed to behemah, there's a chiyuv of kisiyadah, like by an oath. So it's important to know whether something is a chaya or behemah. How do we know? How do we distinguish them? So the halacha is, there are certain simonim, depending on the antlers, and they're not, so apparently that's what the issue of the government is. That's, the issue is, if something is called a chaya, we only determine that it's a chaya if we have a mesoros on it, if we have a tradition about it. If we don't have a tradition, we will presume that this is a chaya and be matir the chaylev. Actually, the OU several years ago began a shechita of venison, which is a chaya, and I think I think it's on the
it's on the menu.
It's on the menu.
No, it's going to be on the plate.
So anyhow, but when we started shechting, it actually in Gosh, New York, the venison, an interesting issue arose because we have the minig in America, generally speaking, different cities in Europe, some have the minig that they did nikur on the chelat hakalayim, on the hindquarters. And some places have the minig, and that's a soul. They do nikur on the ex-monarch, and some of them do nikur on the chelat hakalayim, on the hindquarters. Many communities, and this is generally the position of you, we don't do nikur on the chelat hakalayim. Now the question is, why don't we do nikur on the chelat hakalayim? Is it because of the chumrah, because of the isa chelat? We don't want to get which the point that chelat is, you know, the forbidden chelat, the forbidden one. So we don't, that's why we just set that to the non-kosher section. Or is it because it's also for the given notion of chelat is nisa kos, given notion is only nisa lav? The difference is, what about venison? Do we do nikur on the chelat hakalayim? This issue we had to set to Rav Yoshev, and Rav Yoshev said, especially in the United States, where there isn't a specific minute, so he said that the reason it should only be related to the chaylev, because the chaylev, and not to the venison, to the chay, and therefore we actually do nikur on the chaylev, and the chaylev on the high quarters of the deer that we slaughter. And Rabbi Belsky ingeniously created new instruments. He spoke to a surgeon to be able to do the nikur on the chelet, on the hindquarters of the deer, so that otherwise there would be nothing left of it. The other way that would be done, by the time they took out the gear hadasha, the meat would go, you didn't have the steak, you have chop meat. So, you know, this part of his, you know, genius capacity to figure these things out. So we have here about this between the Chazon Ish on one hand, following the opinion of the Chafos Hadam, and the Prima Godim on the other hand, whether this halakha of Masoros applies only to Ophos, and in terms of the fundamental way of Kashna, what the Shach meant, that you need Masoros, he meant only in terms of distinguishing between Chai and Behema, but not fundamentally whether you need it or not. That's the opinion of the Prima Godim, and the Chazon Ish said, no, if you don't have Masoros, you can't eat the animal at all. Of course, what comes into play was this animal, the zebu. Now, the zebu is indigenous, as I mentioned, to India, but it's very common now in South America. And Israel was slaughtering zebu and bringing it to, you know, back there to Saul. The Chazon Ish was opposed to it, based on this Chafmas Chodim. The Herzog thought that, well, Herzog then, the chief rabbi, thought it was mutter, following the opinion of the Prima Godim, which frankly is a reasonable position. But the Chavit of the Chazanish, since the Chazanish was opposed and he wanted the standard to be a universally accepted one, the Chazanish was the voice of Hador, so the Israeli rabbit took the position that they were no longer slaughtered either. Because the zebu is an animal which we don't have on the service board. This issue re-arose about a year and a half ago, because some enterprising Hanoi, whoever, I'm going to get a little bit facetious, discovered that in fact they're slaughtering in South America, amongst what they're slaughtering is also zebu, or at least a breed of zebu. And as I said, if you look in your source book, you'll find a picture of it, the mangus. And should that be permitted in Israel or not? And what if people were buying? Do they have to kasher their kitchens again? So, Victoria Poskinetso got involved. The Yoshev was of the opinion that that which a person already has in his freezer or that he cooked with, he doesn't have to re-kasher his kitchen. And even in fact, if he bought it, he doesn't have to throw it out, he can use it. But Mikan Lahava, they should only bring in non-zebu. In other words, cattle, standard cattle, which we have a tradition about. Obviously, that meant that the Rabbi Yoshev thought, fundamentally, that it was mutter, otherwise you can't, if it's a shalom, you know, for discussion, I'm not going to just use up a gas for reason, you know, this week, you know, Sabbath Yishalayim today, but not tell it. So, you know, that was the position of Rabbi Yoshev, and the Greens, even more lenient was the opinion of the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner, who said that the position of those who said that we don't, you know, the position, he said, we don't hold that the Chuppah was on, we hold that the Greens was on. But he said, people of the Neidrach, Rav Vosner said, they shouldn't use this evil. Why? Because he said the people of the Neidrach, the Chazanish lived in the Neidrach. So he's the Moed Asher, the Chazan is Pashtun Nak. So you shouldn't use it. But Mikra did its reading with it, so outside the Neidrach, the Rav Vosner said it's permitted. What's especially interesting is this. No, we can't have everybody, right. But he helped me put in his book. Not that the Chazan is. Yeah, but not in the Neidrach. But outside of the Neidrach. Rav Yosher is not that way. Rav Yosher, they should be machted about this evil. The interesting thing is this. Unbeknownst to many people, everybody has fallen into the evil net. Because the dairy, what happened apparently with Israel's dairy industry, Lube and so on, the cows that they got initially were Dutch cows, and they didn't do well in the Israeli climate. So the advantage of the zebu is it's a very hardy animal, but its milk, it doesn't produce as much milk as Dutch cow. So what they did was they bred the zebu with the cows that they got from Holland, and that is the milk supply in Israel is really the result of that. So, you know, the zebu issue didn't disappear. It's not only a Fleischik's issue now, it's a Milton's issue. Because if the zebu's not kosher, then the milk that comes from there, Yotzmir also is also forbidden. So, and there were other issues that arose, because they discovered that a lot of the stam, the Svam, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs that were written in Israel, or some of it, were written on the cloth, on the hides of these animals that are shepherd and zebu. You know, the issue is, what if you have your film written on it? So the issue was, as you can imagine, in Israel, a controversial and, that, you know, at the time, it remains an important issue. So what I want to speak about a little bit conceptually, what is this issue about the service as it relates to Ofer? Now, what's interesting is, according to the Chazanish, right, based on the Chachmas Ogdus interpretation of the Shach, in order to eat meat, it has to be an animal that has a soul. But we never found, as relates to fish, that they say that, you know, fish requires masoret. Now, fish, the simon, anyway, one of the two simon that determine that a fish is kosher, fins and scales, exactly. So, but we never found that you can only eat a fish and it has masoret. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure if it's on our agenda this time, but we'll, we had discussions in the office. There's a fish which is indigenous to South to South Africa. And it's called kingfish. And it was the inhabitant in South Africa, Johannesburg, has permitted, it's already a long time back, that there was a question of love, who was a brother in law of a Chaim Oizer in South Africa, Lapisowski. And he is reported to have said that he believed that the kingfish, but not the king clip is kosher because they claim that there are scales on it. And it was but the king clip is a very strange looking fish because it's not it actually looks like an eel. It's an eel that has it seems to have kashkeshes on it. The question about the kashkeshes is that if the kashkeshes that has the scales, are they qualified to make a kosher? Because they're sort of encased in a membrane. So, is it a kosher fish or not? But there's certainly there was no masoret on it, it's in South Africa, so obviously there's no Jewish that doesn't go back to the Rishonim. So, but we never heard, so the issue is it okay or not? But in general, we never heard an issue about fish that should require masoret. So why don't fish require masoret as well? So that's what I'd like to discuss this morning. Now, the halacha of Masoret, actually, there is really a deraisa root to it. Because Rashi, based on the Sifri, based on the Torah's Kainan, and it's also quoted in one of the Nachas, and that's Dr. Tess, tells us on the Pasuk in Shmini, V'zos ha'chai asher tovu, v'lamei, this is Rashi, Shahai Moshe Oiches B'chayim Umala also Yisrael. Zos Tochlu, Zos Lo Tochlu. That Moshe showed every animal, every, you know, chaya, and said, this you can eat, this you can't eat. Mashmi is right. So it sounds like there was actually a Masoret established initially by Moshe Rabbeinu. That it, and through that, it determined, you know, the kashrus and or the non-kashrus of all these various species. I mentioned this Rashi, Rav Shechter, in his Sefer, Pnimei Harav, tells him something that he heard from Gerella, who said in the name of the Rishkara. There's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Leiden. This is in Hilchos Macholos Asuras. The Rambam says that this is that there's a kind of a sheretz, that it's a sheretz, it's a putisa, it's a sheretz of oath, and sheretz hamayim, and sheretz of oritz. And the Ram says, if you eat it, you get three malchus. In other words, it swims and flies and crawls on the ground. And therefore, if there's a separate law for each sheretz of oath, sheretz hamayim, sheretz of oritz, if you eat it, you're like a three times. So the Raiva disagrees, and he says, Hama'asef osef dvam she'enu ba'olam. Shlo shamanu miyameinu nemola gedele b'mayim lo sheretz ha'ol gadol b'mayim. The Rambam says the Rambam has combined, he's fabricated a kind of an animal or sheretz that we never heard of, doesn't exist. There is no such thing, the Rambam says, as a sheretz that flies and swims and falls and sings and dances, This sheretz, the Rambam says, never existed. So, well, the name is good. So what, it's not about like and seers, that's just a factual, is there such an animal, such a sheretz or not? But he said, the Bible, of course, there is none that exactly looks like that. The Bible doesn't agree with the amount of things that it sees. What he's saying is that in order to determine which, look, there are different categories, the sheretz ha'ov, sheretz ha'mayim, sheretz ha'oretz, all of these things that require that there should be a kfiyas hamin. It's either a determination of which species it belongs to. And it can't belong to two species. So it's either Sheretz HaMayim or Sheretz HaOf. It can't be all three. And so therefore, even the Rambam field, in other words, that since the Moshe Rabbeinu showed and demonstrated what each of these were, and it appears to us that these different qualities, since that's the way it was presented, and that was the Mesorah on it, so to speak, on adding that word Mesorah, so therefore it has all these different qualities. But my point I just want to come back to is that there is a concept of the Elisa of Mesorah and Achaya, right? There's those Achaya, the Rashi comments on. Now, the Shaila, now of course the Halacha that we need in Mesorah to eat Ophos, which are more quotes, is certainly only a rabbinic obligation. It's simply because there are 24 kinds of, 24 kinds of non-kosher birds enumerated in the Torah. Anything beyond that is kosher. So we to simply informationally for the bilu of which is a permitted oath and which is not, we have to have a tradition to indicate it. And the Gemara says you should only rely on a tzayet chacham, a hunter who captures birds, who is a chacham who has a tradition from his Rebbe to determine which is which. So it's simply a bureau. It's not a, that's one way to interpret the Loch Mesorahs. The other way to interpret the Loch Mesorahs is like this, that in order to say that something is kosher, you have to have a tradition about it. It's not just for the bureau, but just like in order for an animal to be kosher, it has to have split hooves. So on the rabbinic level, in order for something to be kosher, it has to have Mesorah. The Mesorah is not just for the bureau. The Mesorah itself, midrabonon, because the reason they did it was because there was confusion which of the non-kosher birds. But once they formulated it, called the tikkun labonon, gave the eyes of tikkun, they formulated it as halacha that the Mesorah itself is a matter. And they patterned it after Rashi's, the Torah's covenant that there was a Mesorah that Moshe established initially when he showed the kosher animals. Now let's just very briefly analyze. We know that the, for example, by Dogen, Dogen have to have a snap of a kaskeses. Is the snap of a kaskeses that which makes it kosher? Or is it, no, it's not the snap of a kaskeses that makes it kosher. It's not the scales that make it kosher. It's the fact that it's a kosher species. But how do we know it's a kosher species? This was the Torah's shorthand, so to speak. Anything which has a kashkeses is a kosher species, but it's not the kashkeses that makes it kosher. The kashkeses is only informing us that this is a kosher species. Notice, is the kashkeses a biru, or is the kashkeses, the snap of kashkeses, the koveya that establishes as a kosher fish? Now, this is a discussion in Akronim, and in terms at least of Dagin, it would seem proof positive from the Gemara. The Gemara asks, why does the Torah to mention both you have to have snapper and a kaskeset, both fins and scales? After all, everything that has scales has fins. So the only thing that's really significant for us to know is if it has scales, because if it has fins by itself, it won't tell us anything. But if it has scales, then we know it's automatically kosher, because whatever has scales also has fins. So why did the Torah have to mention the fins as well? So the answer is because Moshe says lahadil Torah lahadil, learn to to glorify or to the Torah. So but in fact the only thing that's really required is the kashkeses. So what does that mean then? So what it means is this, that if from this can we see that the halacha snap of a kashkeses is not just that it's a bureau, just a proof. Because if it was a proof, it would be sufficient to tell us the kashkeses. But if the halacha is that this is what makes it kosher, the snap of kashkeses, So indeed, everything that has a kaskeses information, it will also have a snapir. But in fact, the thing that determines it and makes it kosher is also the snapir, is also the fins. So therefore, the fin had to be mentioned as well as the kaskeses. Now the question is, what about by behemoth? Is by behemoth the fact that it's malageira and mafreshes pasa, are those simply proofs that this is a kosher species? Oh no, it's not the proof. The fact that it has a split hoof, it has split hooves, and that it chews its cud, that itself determines it and makes it a kosher animal. So the Lakachova in Chumash and Tzostos Kamer has this chakira, and he brings what he thinks is a liar, that you see it's only a proof, not the determinant, because it was says that if an animal, kosher species, kosher animal, will give birth to a non-kosher animal, will give birth to a colon, an animal which doesn't have split hooves, the offspring will still be kosher. So he said, if the thing is that it determines it, which is a kosher species, it's a biro. So we know it's been born from a kosher species, so the child is also a kosher breed. But if the fact, this is Rabbi Chava argues, that that the malageira and the lesmafresis parsa is the thing that's determined it, but the child doesn't have it, so it shouldn't be kosher. It's not 100% proof, the chef can suggest also. It's simply that the malageira and the mafresis parsa of the mother is chal as well for the child, for the blood. So So now coming back to why we don't find a halacha of masoros by dagi, it may be like this. If we say that the halacha of masoros is not just a biru, initially it was a biru, but the halacha of masoros was that this is one of the materials of the min that has to have a tradition about it. So by dagim, one could argue, by dagim, with the simonim are certainly the kovim and the determinants that make the fish kosher. So they did institute another koveya because they had the snap of the kaskeses. But by behemoth, if we say, like the Rabbi Shover says, that by behemoth, the simon is only a proof what's kosher, so then they require, just like by Ophos, that there should be another requirement, namely a further proof, especially if you say that it's not, namely the Mesora, to say that it's kosher. I'm just going to, just coming back to your question very briefly. I'm not sure if the others are speaking about, but they're very good. You are speaking about it. The issue of Turkey is an important issue. It's going to be on the agenda later on, because it's a new world bird, so certainly there was no Masoros about turkeys. I just want to make one very strange thing, which was quoted one of the previous Masoros out. It may be because it couldn't have been a non-kosher because it's a new world bird. But there's some posters that say, I've been quoting about that we have a Masoros about it because it comes. So those who claim that the Indians were from the 12 tribes, I only say humans. So we have the Masoros from the Indians.
Wait. My question is...